A man's POV is produced by Giracom. Giracom, seeing above. This episode is presented in part with the financial support of the International Narrative Short Film Festival, INSFF. Filmmakers, get noticed. This podcast is also produced with the support of our patrons on Patreon, one of them being Annie Tanguay. Thank you so much. Hello there. Finally, warmer temperature is here. It makes me happy. We can go to the park with the boys. Good on the motivation. Love it. Today, well, this month, it's going to be a more political episode. I'm going back to my old habits, I guess. Two subjects. One is coming from Europe and one from America. Something I saw on Twitter a few weeks ago, and I thought it would make a good subject to discuss. So I'll start with some European politics. Right-wing governments begin to settle in Europe, or I should say, the left wing is getting booted off. Yeah. A tendency has been seen for the last couple of years, and it might actually arrive right now in Europe. So we'll see that. And then I'll go risky. As you may know, I like to talk about feminism. Yes, a man who talks about feminism. So I'll ask a question and I'll try to answer it. That's the thing I saw on Twitter. Can a woman call herself a feminist and do amateur or professional porn? Yeah. I guess I'll get some comments on that one. Can't wait. So, welcome to episode 8 of A Man's POV. So, a few months ago, Austria became the first European country to bring back the right-wing extremists at the government. I must say that I was, and I still am, speechless. I have a friend who lives there, who was actually born there. She's a bit scared, and she still doesn't understand what happened. She told me how people over there are usually open to difference and to other people, but I guess that with the wave of Syrians coming, the whole Europe is quite, I don't know if scared is the right word, but it's a whole other culture. And the you know, when people don't know something, they tend to be scared or just unsure if they should accept it or not. My friend has an opinion on the reasons why that happened, or at least a theory. She says that Austrians don't talk enough about what happened in the World War II. And actually, many people don't know or don't remember that, but Austria was an ally to Germany at that time. They were actually some kind of part of Germany. But they've been forgiven much faster than Germany, who was actually leading this whole thing. So this is, let's say, a bad thing that happened in their culture, in their country. And on the contrary than Germany, Austrians don't want to talk about it. They never talk about it. It's not really taught to kids in school. And she says that when you don't talk about something, you tend to forget it. So that's what she says, or at least that what she think. This might be one of the reason why they voted for them, because this government is part. It's a coalition. Well, it's the actual government. It is the right-wing party, but they are, let's say, working with the extremists, the extreme right wing. So they have some people in different strategic area at the government, and they have no shame in saying that they are like neo-Nazi. It's quite scary. They don't say that they want to burn people, but if they were deciding, every migrants would be kicked off from Austria. And maybe it's true. If people were talking or remembering more what happened with the Nazi in the Second World War, they would not put these people in charge of their country. Well, I guess they would not. But as we say, you must know your past if you don't want to make the same mistakes again and again. That's actually what's happening with the jihadists. They're making the same mistakes that Christians have made in like 600 years ago. You know, you well, they're trying to conquer, I guess. It shouldn't happen in nowadays. We should have learned from what happened in the past, but it's true, we don't talk about it enough. And it comes back again and again, here and there. Well, that's Austria with their very bad situation. France has been able to not elect le Front National, which is the extreme right wing. But it was close, but didn't win. Same thing happened in some other countries. Instead of being like the usual either center and left center fighting for the government, or the right and left, or it was in many places left center or center fighting the extreme right wing, or instead of being let's say like France was usually the left wing against the right wing. But this time it was center versus the extreme right wing, which means it went more to the right. And it's a tendency that we can see in many, many European countries right now. So Austria is the first one, but I don't know if they will be the last one. Well, we'll see. And then there's Italy. That's another situation. Same thing, they usually go for left and right, and there's some kind of. Well, actually, it's been the right centers and the right for a long time, and then they went with the left wing party with Matteo Renzi, and then now it switched. The fight was again the right, let's say right extreme right. It was two very close parties against the it's actually hard to really understand there. It's a party that says that we're nowhere in this thing. We're not right, not left, not center. So actually, we're gonna say centrist, but I think it's more like an alliance of people from every position in there. So there's some right-wing people, some left-wing, some middle ones, and they decided to get together to do we don't know what actually. So they did not vote for the right wing and extreme right wing alliance, which is a good thing. But the election was on, I think it was the 4th of March. The results are still blurry. I talked with another friend that I have who lives in the north of Italy, and she says that she s is still uncertain of what the government will look like. But one thing is for sure, the center-left party was kicked out. But the election was on the 4th of March, like I was saying, and we are the 15th of May, so it's almost 2 months and a half later, and they still don't have a government. It works with alliance there, and the party was elected is not strong enough to be alone at the head of the country, and they have to choose an ally. And right now they're negotiating with the extreme right to make some kind of an alliance, and they can't find a common ground. And in the next days, if they can't agree on something, actually, they will have to vote again. And the one sure thing is that it won't be a left-wing party there, not even the left center. What could really happen if they get back in, if they go back to the voting poll, the right-wing party, Berlusconi's party, who, by the way, was just forgiven, or say that how you want, rehabilitated. He's been caught with corruption and fraud, and so it was illegal for him to be at the head of the country again. But now he has been forgiven, so he could come back with his right-wing party and present himself again for the vote, and the chances are he might be elected again. So this would mean that the right-wing party would come back, and they are saying that immigration should be cut off and that they will, I don't know how, get rid of many immigrants. We should know what happens in the next few days. But it doesn't look good if you are for freedom and if you are a left-wing person. I can't say that they are having a right-wing or extreme right-wing government there, but I can't say they won't have one, and the chances are they will have one. So, well, we're gonna have to wait a few more days to see if they can reach an agreement. But even though if it's the actual result that stays, it's, let's say, a centered party who will ally with an extreme right wing party. So it still means that they're going to be, let's say, a right center, so instead of a left center party. I don't know. Anyway, the next big election in Europe will come in September, when Sweden goes to the voting poll. I will sure keep an eye on it to see what happened there. Sweden is voting on the left side of the line, like forever. They are a very progressive country, but still, apparently, there are a lot of discussion with the about the possibility of the right wing coming back. So we're gonna have to wait, but it's gonna be a very, very big one. If the right wing takes the power in Sweden, it means that many other might follow, because if they can fall, well, almost anybody can. I saw a tweet the other day. It was going something like this: "What about my body, my choice?" The hashtag, and the bashing about porn. "I consider myself a feminist even if I am a cam girl. I do it by choice and it's my body." It made me think. Because porn and feminism, they usually don't match. So it was like, huh. How about this my body, my choice thing, actually? And what if we say that the problem with porn is the image of the woman in those films? Because that's usually what they say, huh? It's degrading to women. They are shown as objects. So that's usually what we hear. That is a problem for the image of women with porn. But what if we started with the idea that porn is a fantasy? Okay, just try to follow me here. What if it doesn't show women in all those bad angles and in a total submission position? Then, if a woman does it by choice because she likes sex and she likes to show herself, is it still wrong? Is it still an anti-feminism? Then, can you do it to show that you can do whatever you want, just like a man? 'Cause usually in, let's say, organized porn, it shows the man and a manly man like possessing the woman, doing what he likes, and she's there to satisfy him. But if you turn that around, or if you just make it like a real sexual relation with two people who loves each other, it can still be let's say rough or passionate or a bit crazy, or actually they can do anything. Then, if it's showing some kind of equality, is it still anti-feminist? Huh. I discovered an artist a couple years ago. Her name is Milo Moiré. She's from Switzerland. She uses nudity in her artistic performances. One thing she did in the last, I think it was last year, was called the Mirror Box. What she was doing with this, she walks around with a top or a dress. She did two different things. With mirrors inside and a camera. So she has this big top that hides everything with a little door with some drape or anything that you can, so you can put your hand and touch her breasts. And the mirrors and camera inside are used to film it. Then she asks people in the street if they want to touch her breasts. The idea was to show that a woman can decide to be touched if she wants, but she can also decide not to be touched if she doesn't want to. Then, if a woman wants to be touched, where is the problem with that? That's the idea that she wanted to show with this. And actually, I think it does work. If, and it was with the whole Me Too thing and women being used and not having the right on their own body and my body, my choice, mostly my body, my choice. She was working with that. And the idea was, if I decide that I want to be fondled by strangers, I can do it. It's my choice. I know this isn't porn, actually. This is performance, arts. People, well, some people see it as porn. So that's, I know it's not maybe the perfect example, but still, I think you can defend sex equality, and if you won't get paid to have sex in front of a camera. Because I can be wrong, but it's not the sex act that is seen as anti-feminist, right? I think feminists still have sex. Well, I am a feminist. My wife is a feminist. And not extremist, though. Feminist, you know? Feminism. and we still have two babies, so I guess you can be feminist and still have fun. You can probably, I think actually, you can defend feminist values and show your body to millions of people if you want. You can promote safe sex, be against body shaming. You can talk about equality and even show it while having sex, you know? I think actually it can promote a good, healthy relationship. Yes, I do think that you can promote feminism and still do amateur porn or professional porn. Maybe more amateur, but still now there are, they call it feminist porn or porno for women, and they use different terms, but it's made with the idea that both or every partners are in some way equal, and it actually shows more. Well, I'm no expert here, but I read an interview with a couple of director female director who do that type of film, and they say that when you show the real thing, actually it's healthy. Because let's be honest, giving a blowjob is not degrading in itself. Actually, everything in sex can be degrading and not degrading at the same time. It all depends of the intention. Well, that's my point of view. So, I might get bashed, huh, for that last one. I don't know. Porn and feminism are two delicate subjects, I guess. They are both kind of taboo. Well, at least in America, you don't talk about sex. You don't talk about porn. You certainly don't talk about masturbation. So I don't know. I felt like it was interesting to talk about it. And if you want to talk about the opinions I'm giving in the second part, feel free to do so. I would love actually to have a conversation with someone about that. Maybe I could try to find someone and do a chat session. We'll see. Maybe I could try that. Well, it's really taboo, actually, huh? I mean, saying that you watch porn would be like saying you're a socialist in America, you know? You would be looked at very weirdly, strangely. People would judge you. Well, actually, they do judge you. Not everyone, but if you go with a general thing, they will judge you. And about this anti-left-wing movement thing that could be happening in Europe, the thing is, it's mostly an immigration question. If you don't have the migrants from the north of Africa, I don't think this movement would happen. People, they are mostly just scared because they don't know this culture, and what they know about them, it's that they are Muslims. And if you're not educated, you think, because that's what you see some in many, many places, you think that they are all terrorists, which is certainly not the case. So, what do you guys think? And what about the ladies? I won't I want to hear you. I want to hear what you guys and girls think of these two subjects. As always, if you like this episode, please share it on social. That's the only way I can get more followers, more people, more listeners, actually. You can also follow us on Facebook. We have a whole new page. I'll leave the link at the bottom. We changed it lately. And you can also support us on Patreon. This will help a lot to get some longer episodes and some. It's gonna help pay the platforms and stuff like that. So please help us with. We are on Patreon. The link is also in the description. Thank you for listening. See you next month.